Presenting The Whisperer, starring Carlton Young. The Whisperer, a brilliant man who, losing his voice in an accident which crushed his vocal cords, worked his way deep within the crime syndicate to help destroy it from within. To the underworld, his familiar rattling hiss is the voice of authority, to be obeyed without question. Then a miracle of surgery performed by Dr. Benjamin Lee restored his natural voice, enabling him to resume his real identity. Now, as Philip Galt, brilliant young attorney, he skirts the thin edges of death, living his dual role. For as the Whisperer, he sets in motion the forces of the syndicate in Central City. Then, as Philip Galt, uses his knowledge to fight the organized network of crime which seeks to control the fate of millions in cities and towns across the nation. The only person besides Dr. Lee who knows the true identity of the Whisperer is the doctor's nurse, Ellen Norris. Now in the oak-paneled office of Philip Galt, counselor at law, she watches him at the telephone, speaking in the voice of the Whisperer as he talks with his superiors of the syndicate in New York.
Is that all?
All of what, Ellen?
That voice for tonight. You know what it sounds like?
For a guy with an affliction who walked into your office and asked for help.
And got help. And it's not exactly my office. Dr. Lee likes to think it's his. I just worked there. But he didn't restore your voice so you could go on talking in that horrible whisper.
Oh, Ellen, we're not going into that again.
We are, if you've got more of this syndicate business to take care of tonight.
Sweetheart, tonight?
Yes?
I've got a chore for you.
Oh, goody.
No, I'm serious.
Fire away.
It requires a delicate touch.
Mine's like a bird.
A buzzard?
Phil Galt.
Okay, listen. There's a newspaper reporter, Fell. Tommy Fell. A sharp boy, and he's been taking a dim view of the syndicate's activities in this town and broadcasting his opinion in his newspaper.
Good for him.
Yes, except that now he's in real trouble.
The syndicate's after him, and you've got to save him. Now that you've put the finger on him.
We've got to save him.
Where do I fit in?
Well, I know that Mason is supposed to shoot Farrell at the Club 17. That would mean that Farrell's going to be there.
Club 17, the gambling club.
Uh-huh. Unfortunately, being only one thread of the syndicate, I don't know what the other threads are or how they're working. For instance, I don't know what time the shooting's going to take place, how the syndicate knows Farrell's going to be there, or what this Mason, whom I spoke to, looks like.
Well, a lot of things you don't know.
That's where you come in, Ellen. Across the street from the Bulletin is a cafe called Bluebell. The newspaper boys congregate there for their beer and Skittles.
What is Skittles?
And the slightest idea. Anyway, the delicate touch I've been talking about is whether you can take care of Tommy Fell.
Oh, buddy.
Make like a siren. Try to keep him from going to the Club 17 tonight.
Well, it might be interesting. Young?
I don't know.
Does he have a sense of humor?
Definitely. Some very clever cracks about the syndicate in his newspaper articles.
What are you going to do in the meantime?
Snoop around, try to find out who Mason is, and get in his hair in case you don't succeed in charming Fell away.
Oh, sounds like a challenge, and I accept. No holds barred.
Now, wait a minute. You... Hello?
Galt?
Why, yes, Lieutenant Denver.
There's a guy down here I'd like you to see. It's all about the name of Yuvin.
Don't know any Yuvin, Lieutenant. Especially any Yuvin in trouble with homicide.
Not homicide, it's vice. Yuvin owns and operates the Club 17.
Club 17? Oh, that's very interesting, Lieutenant.
I just happen to be around and Yuvin doesn't have an attorney. Of course, if you're not interested...
Business, Lieutenant? Of course I'm interested. What's the charge against Yuvin?
Running and operating a gambling casino. What else?
I'll be right down. Well, what does that mean?
What does what mean?
Well, why did the police pick this particular time to book the owner of the Club 17? That's where the shooting's supposed to take place. Something's cooking, Ellen.
Well, before it gets to a boil, I'm off to intercept reporter Tommy Farrell. He sounds very romantic.
Now, just stick to the necessities, Ellen. Don't take this job too much to heart.
I don't have an attorney and I don't want
a man in your position without legal representation.
I fired him. I got tired of taking these routes from the police.
I've already set the machinery in motion to get you out.
Says who? What right?
You don't want out.
You catch on quickly. Now you can stop that machinery you were talking about.
I think I catch on to something else, too.
Huh?
You arranged to have yourself picked up.
What?
You want to be in jail tonight, so you won't possibly be connected with something that's going to happen in your club tonight.
You're a smart lad.
Not so smart. Even the cops could figure that out. Here you are in jail and you don't want to get out. What other reason could there be? Couldn't be an alibi, could it?
You're a pretty clever slicer, Gulch. But I played this my way. I'm staying put.
Okay, Euban. But you might find out that your way will be mighty painful.
Minute?
As soon as I make a quick phone call, Lieutenant.
I suppose it's usual. You want privacy. Use that phone booth over there.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Operator, New York City, circle 1879.
A lot of time in phone booths.
I'm developing telephonia, Lieutenant. Now, tell me why you called me for this little job.
Oh, I like the way you operate, Gulch.
Uh-huh. And I like you, too, Lieutenant. How come you've forsaken homicide for the vice squad?
Extracurricular work. Boys in the detail are a little rushed.
Yeah. Why'd you want Euban released?
Oh, did I want him released?
A raid tonight? You want to catch him there, is that it?
A raid? Now, how could you think a thing like that?
Okay, Lieutenant. All I want to know is why you picked Club 17 tonight. Who made the complaint?
Well, you got the best of me, Gulch.
And why are you so interested in vice and gangster detail stuff?
You tell me why.
Because you smell homicide, Lieutenant. And you smell homicide whenever the syndicate is involved.
Oh?
Is Euban part of the syndicate?
I wish I knew.
But you suspect he is. And that's why you called me? Because lately you've been spotting me at some of the syndicate's finaglings?
Probably just a coincidence, Gulch.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe I'll see you later on tonight at Club 17.
Oh, why don't you stay a while and chat?
I'd love to, Lieutenant, but right now I'm on my way to see a lady about a reporter.
In the meantime, Ellen Norris enters the smoke-filled Bluebell Cafe to fulfill the mission assigned her by Philip Gulch, alias The Whisperer. A mission designed to keep Thomas Farrell from going to the Club 17, where a killer waits for him.
What'll it be, lady?
Not here, please. A tall one. Oh, on some Skittles, please.
Huh? Skittles?
Please. I've always wanted to find out what they were.
I don't know. Hey, mister, you know what's a Skittle?
Skittles?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting question. I've used the phrase myself, beer and Skittles. Maybe it's some kind of beef jerky.
Tall beer. Very tall.
Well, thank you. Keep the change.
Well, what do you know?
Shouldn't have done that.
What? They shouldn't have done what?
Give him that dime. It'll spoil him. He'd leave it on the counter and keep looking at it soulfully while he served the rest of his poor newspapermen.
Oh, newspapermen? Oh, you know what he found?
Well, I grew up with him.
Really? I've been reading his articles in the bulletin. I think he's wonderful.
So do I. Well, let's not get maudlin about this. I'm T. Farrell.
Oh.
Let's sit down and get away from this Hoyt-Loy, huh?
Hoyt-Loy?
Yeah, it's kind of people you shouldn't associate with. In this case, other reporters or the men. Oh, here. This is fine. Hey, tell me, what are you doing in this bar?
Having a beer. You're not old.
Oh, not yet.
And you're rather distinguished looking. Those gray hairs around your temples. They're very attractive.
Those are typewriter hairs. I get them with my fingers poised over a typewriter trying to dream up the perfect words. Yeah, sometimes I sit like that for hours. You have to shake me to get me awake.
But now you're all through for the day.
Yeah, until later.
Oh?
Duty.
Oh.
If the law wasn't going to be mixed up in it, I'd ask you to come along.
Oh, I wasn't thinking anything like that. I thought maybe you'd like to come on a party I'm going to.
Yeah, you see, that's what happens to me every time. Duty, duty. Where is this party? I'll make it later.
Oh, no, it's all right. Some other time.
No, wait. I got an idea. One of the boys will take him. I'll join him later. I got to be somewhere about 11, but it shouldn't take more than 3/4 of an hour.
No, some other time. It's all right.
Oh, you're disappointed.
No.
Look, sweetheart, I haven't had a stroke of luck like this since a little Belgian gal I met in the Battle of the Bulge.
Well, if any old appointment makes that much difference, it's quite all right, Mr. Bell.
Well, then, how about having another beer and waiting for me right here, huh?
Anybody here know what Skittles are?
Uh-oh. What is this, sweetie?
I don't know.
Quite a line to come in on, Skittles.
Oh, hello there. I'm connected with the Encyclopedia Britannica, and we're tracing the derivation.
What's your angle, Sonny? You know this young lady?
I just want to know what Skittles are.
It's like too much of a coincidence. Don't crowd, Sonny. I don't like the question. I don't like the setup here, and I don't like you.
Hey, wait. Out of my way. Wait a minute.
Phil, he's running away. He's going to Club 17.
Yes, Ellen. Now that he's suspicious, we won't be able to stop him.
So?
So we go out to Club 17, and unless we do better there than we did here, Farrell is going to get murdered.
You are listening to The Whisperer, the story of Philip Galt, the man who walked the thin edge of death, living a double identity. It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. 25 years ago this year, the National Broadcasting Company was founded. It was during this same period that an era of jazz, mahjong, and the Lucky Lindy flourished. You'll step into the world of the Roaring Twenties every Wednesday evening if you'll tune for Pete Kelly's Blues on this station. Pete Kelly's Blues. It's about the big music and the big trouble and the big roar of the 20s. Pete Kelly's Blues, Wednesday. Philip Galt, known to the underworld as the Whisperer, has set in motion the syndicate's plan to kill Thomas Farrell, newspaper reporter who's been uncovering some of the syndicate's activities. Then, in his real identity as Philip Galt's counselor at law, he sent Ellen Norris to keep Farrell from going to the Club 17. But Farrell became suspicious and headed for the club where a killer waits for him. Phil and Ellen follow in Phil's car, hoping they will reach the gambling club in time to prevent his death.
I'll have to get this motor checked. I can't seem to get any speed out of it at all.
You're doing 70 now.
Phil has quite a head start on it. We could get there too late.
What happened downtown with Lieutenant Bendix?
Euban, the owner of Club 17, had himself rousted this evening.
Had himself? You mean deliberately?
That's what I mean. Evidently, he knows about the setup for Tommy Farrell, and he wanted to make sure he wasn't around when it happened. A perfect alibi for him would have been if he was in jail.
Oh.
I pointed out to him how illogical that was. He was in jail of his own choosing, and it showed complicity with what was going to happen.
So you got him out?
He still wouldn't leave, Ellen. I had to do it through the syndicate.
Now what?
I wish I knew. We get to the Club 17 as fast as we can.
This fellow Mason will be there waiting to kill Farrell.
Yes?
And you don't know Mason?
Only his voice.
Oh, the way this syndicate works. One finger doesn't know what the other finger is doing, let alone a hand.
It's tough.
And it's tougher on you and on me. Oh, you'll get caught, Phil. You can take chances only so many times, and then the law of averages runs out.
Ellen.
All right, I'm not going into that again. We're going up to the Club 17 to stop a murder. We don't know who the murderer is or how he'll try to do his murdering. should be simple.
A couple of things I don't understand about this.
If somebody wants to kill somebody else, the chances are 10,000 in 10,001 is going to do it. You can't stop them.
We can try. I'll be quiet a moment and listen.
Okay.
Ellen, why did Lieutenant Denver want me to get Eubin out of jail?
Maybe he likes to keep his jail clean.
And what takes Farrow up to Club 17 this evening?
Could be he's after story. He is a reporter, you know.
Sure. But what story?
I don't know.
Maybe it's connected with Lieutenant Denver. Maybe. I got it.
Well?
Have you any objections to getting caught in a raid?
It depends on what kind of raid.
On a gambling club. Cops swarming all over the place. Pistols out. A lot of excitement. Maybe a gun goes off.
And Carmen Farrow gets the bullet. You think Denver knows the syndicate is mixed up in this?
I'm sure of it. That's why he's getting involved in it, even though it isn't homicide business.
And about Tom Farrell being there. He must have been tipped off of the arrest.
Uh-huh, by some member of the syndicate. To get him there and have him killed in the commotion. The poor guy doesn't have any idea what he's walking into.
Whisperer has his function. Eubin has another function. The police are patsy playing the part.
And Mason the killer only knows one thing. That Tommy Farrell is to be killed. Neat. Tied up in bows. Mason takes his shot, gets out of the excitement, leaves town, and who could ever pin Farrow's murder on any part of the syndicate?
Oh, why do we mess with it? Why do we...
To save a nice guy's life, Ellen. Is that a good enough reason?
Yes. That's a good enough reason.
Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Place your bets.
I don't see Farrell anywhere, sir.
Here he comes.
Hello, Counselor.
Hello, Eubin. Ellen, this is Mr. Eubin, Miss Norris.
The way the Counselor talked, I thought he was all business. It's a pleasure.
Your place here is very quiet.
Just a little thing.
Will you excuse me? I think I see a friend of mine.
Of course.
Give him my regards, Ellen.
I will.
Maybe that was good advice that you were trying to give me.
Glad to see you took it.
Maybe I can give you some in return. That's a reporter your girl's going to see.
Farrell?
Uh-huh. Take her away from him, Gold.
I think he's trying to take her away from me.
I ain't kidding. You're a smart shyster. If you like the girl, keep her away.
Any special reason?
I hear things.
About Farrell?
Yes, about Farrell. The kind of things he's writing in his paper. Certain people don't like him, and it ain't healthy to be near him.
Certain people? The syndicate?
I didn't say nothing about no syndicate.
That's what he's writing about.
Yes. Well, I ain't well read. All the reading I do is the names of horses and what the round robin figures out.
Thanks for the tip about Farrell. I'll see what I can do about it.
Sister, I'm not as young as I'd like to be anymore. I can spot a plant at... Oh. You again.
Relax.
I'm relaxed. Hey, what's your line?
Maybe I've got a tip for you, Farrell.
I don't know where you fit in, and I just as soon never find out. Take your charming skipples along with you.
Investigating the syndicate, aren't you?
So?
Eubin's part of it.
Is he?
This is his place. Eubin knows there's going to be a raid here tonight.
How do you know?
All I had to know was that he had himself rousted. He didn't want to be here when the raid was on.
Smart guy, Eubin.
Not so smart. He isn't worried about the raid. He's worried about what's going to happen during the raid.
Yeah, and just what's going to happen during the raid.
Who tipped you about it, Sal?
What are you getting at?
The setup.
What setup?
Use your head, Sal. This is all for you. Everything. The raid, you've been not wanting to be here. You're being tipped so you will be here.
You trying to tell me...
But you're their target for tonight, Sal. That's why I tried to keep you from coming here.
How do you know so much about it?
I'm a lawyer. I ran across it.
Hey,
Here it comes. Oh. Careful.
Let's take it nice and easy and keep it orderly. Hey!
What happened to the lights, Phil?
Duck, get down, Phil. You all right, Ellen?
Yes. Tommy?
Okay.
Yeah, both of you, stay where you are and stay on the floor.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Eubin's office. The man who shot that gun ducked in there.
Mason!
A whisper. What are you doing here? Yeah, I know. I won't the second time.
See that you don't. Stay here. I'll send him in.
Okay.
Get the lights down in a minute, folks. Everybody just stay where you are. There won't be any more shooting. Oh!
Ellen?
Yes?
I thought I told you.
I wanted to find out what's going on.
Mason, the guy who shot at Farrell, is in the office. I'm going to get Lieutenant Denver to smoke him out with tear gas.
Oh?
Yes, Euban?
Doc.
Over here.
Out of my way, Counselor. I've got people protecting my office.
There's somebody in there. Don't go in.
Out of my way, I said.
Wait, I told you, but not to go in there.
But the other shot. It sounded like a different gun, Phil.
Okay, Harrison, get these lights on. I said, everybody stay wet. That's better.
Oh, thank goodness. The lights are on.
Whoever took that stack of chips in front of the blackjack dealer better put them back now.
Go, what were those shots? Come and see for yourself, Lieutenant.
Huh? Oh, Euban. He's still alive.
Harrison, get an ambulance.
Take a look over there, Lieutenant.
Huh?
Who's he? I don't know. I never saw him before in my life. But he's the guy who started the shooting, and I wanted him to stay in there so you could pick him up. Then Euban came barging in. And...
yeah.
Where did Harrison put in that call?
Hey, Gold. Like I owe you and the lady an apology.
Oh, Farrell.
Yeah. Sorry about my suspicion. Looks like I was wrong about you.
Forget it.
Anytime I can be of any help.
I may take you up on that.
Maybe both of us will take you up on it, Tommy. Every time we get through one of these, it's as though I've just had a terrible weight lifted off my shoulders.
That's nice and neat when they kill each other off.
Both of them dead?
Uh-huh. Euban died before they could get him into the ambulance. Two less in the syndicate.
What are we stopping at your place for?
Just to have the Whisperer make a report. And then?
Then?
There are several questions I want to ask you.
Oh, personal.
Extremely. For instance... just how well did you get to know Tommy Farrell?
Why, Phil, you're...
jealous, uh-huh. I noticed one startling thing. When that shot rang out in the dark...
what?
You called him Tommy. Not Mr. Farrell, not even just Farrell, but Tommy.
Did I?
Yes.
Well, I'll confess. He finally broke down and made something very clear to me. And I couldn't help but be overwhelmed by it.
What?
He told me what Skittles are.
Oh. Well, what are they?
Ninepins, darling. Beer and Skittles means beer and a game of ninepins. But nowadays we just shorten the meaning to enjoyment. Have some beer and Skittles with you?
It'll be my pleasure. Just as soon as I call the syndicate.
Based upon stories and characters created by Stetson Humphrey. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Carlton Young is starred as the Whisperer. Betty Moran is Ellen. Others in the cast were Paul Frees, Julius Kralbein, Jack Moyles, Frank Gerstle, and Jan Arvan. Script was by Jonathan Twite. Original music by Johnny Duffy. And the entire production was directed by Bill Karn. Next week, listen to another exciting adventure with... it's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. There's more top adventure for you later today on NBC when Mr. Moto takes you on another adventure. Join Mr. Moto in this adventure through the ancient, shadow-filled corridors of the catacombs of Rome. And remember, genial Phil Baker asks you to try for the $64 question later tonight. It's Mr. Moto and the $64 question, both tonight on this NBC.